Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to another episode of Ride and Scan. Listen to the last one, you'll know that we didn't do an extra one on Sunday.
I was
we're here today.
On the call, I thought I didn't come. Maybe there's more to it.
No. I just fancied a weekend. If it comes down to it. I'm on a weekend where I don't have to talk to you. So, how are you?
Busy. I've been busy right now. I took my first trip on a Boris bike this morning. When did they come in, the Boris bikes?
I'm assuming when he was mayor. Are they still called Boris bikes? Has that not been fucking appropriated by other people now?
Everyone calls them Boris bikes, but they got Santander written all over them. The red bikes.
Roger. But I've never used any of them.
Maybe everyone of our generation.
Was it a good experience? Did you like it?
I was extremely surprised.
Yeah.
It's like I thought you had to have an account, but you basically got these pay units next to all the bikes.
Yeah.
Tap on there, say how long you want the bike for. You get up to 30 minutes for £1.65. It's cheaper than public transport.
Yeah.
And tap your thing, then it gives you a code. Then you go to any bike you want of all the ones that are available, and you just tap in your code into like a little keypad. You tap in your code, it releases the bike. And the bikes are all serial-less. I got some inside info this morning. The bikes are all serial-numbered. Well, not inside info, but experience info. The bikes are all serial-numbered, big on the side of them. And the higher the serial number, obviously, the newer the bike. So the lower the serial number, the more likely there is to be a death trap. Not a death trap, you know, but it's death. And anyway, I got one.
Yeah.
It was much lighter than what I thought. It had gears, which surprised me. Only three gears. And it was a pleasurable experience. Like, I was actually surprised. I would do it again.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are they electric or not?
No, there are electric ones around, but the Boris bikes aren't electric.
Okay. Right, well, I hope everyone fucking enjoyed that.
They don't need to be electric. Like, what hills are in London that need to be on an electric bike? Unless you're going 5 miles or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm all for that type of thing. Yeah. I think the issue that they've had in most places is that people just dump them.
Yeah, but I don't see how that works, because they dump them, they're going to get charged megabucks. You have to redock it for the charge to stop.
Yeah, but it must be some sort of issue there, otherwise people wouldn't dump them, because it definitely happens. Every city I've been to that has those bikes, you just see them dumped everywhere. Now, my assumption is that they have people that go around and collect them. But, I don't know, when I was in, where was I? Give me a town in fucking Portugal, a big town.
Wait, Portugal?
The capital of Portugal.
Lisbon.
That's the one, I was in Lisbon. Yeah, I was in Lisbon, it was the same. They're electric, and they were just, dumped everywhere, because I'm assuming they ran out of batteries and people just go, yeah, fuck that, dump it, see you later. So, yeah. This might be the most boring topic we've spoken about.
Well, I could spice it up a bit. I didn't see it. I saw one cyclist running a red light, and that was the person I was cycling with. Which meant okay. I ran the red light too, and I was unhappy because I was scowling myself as if I was a car onlooker seeing a wanker cyclist running the red light.
Well, in 15 to 20 years' time, when there's like enviro crime, people are going to be looking through the internet and digging this up. Yeah, 100%. Fucking gulag. Well, we were going to talk about the Google thing, weren't we, on Sunday? I kind of feel like the Google thing, it's sort of not burnt out, but it's not the current thing, is it? But we've got to talk about it, because it's a big thing. It's fucking dangerous.
Do you know what? What was it, you that sent me something a lot to talk about this, or is it someone that we both follow that I probably got from you, like Balaji or someone, who was saying that Google and Microsoft are dying, they're on the way out. And it was there. It was three of them. It was Google, Microsoft. It might have been Apple, actually. It was Apple, who's the other one. These three behemoths are dying and they're going out because they're not innovating. They're not innovating. They're re-releasing the same shit, with the exception of Google. They're re-releasing the same shit, just packaged differently. Apple, for sure, are doing that. But with Google dying, it was partly that Google are dying, but also that its competitors are just superior to them now. They just got a better product. Bing, allegedly, is now a better search engine in terms of quality and user experience than Google is. But because it's not Google, people aren't using it as much. It's just not known, same as like Apple. I've known for a long time there are a million better phones on the market than there are iPhones. It's just, the iPhone is just inferior to most other things on the market. But people don't know because Apple is Apple and it's just got this this grasp on consumerism. That means people, and also the way their products are made, is that once you're Apple, like, it's very difficult to get non-Apple. But yeah, so there's an interest of the Google AI thing. When I saw that Gemini thing, I thought, maybe this is another symptom of Google is on its way out. Well, I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe because they got so much power.
Yeah. They still are. I don't know about on the way out, because like you say, that's a very big beast to die. But they're certainly, they should be concerned. Because it's very obvious in this AI thing that they're completely captured.
Well, tie into the Gemini thing, right? How does a company...
Let's just explain what it is.
Yeah, so
for people who don't know.
How does a company like Google, with all its experience and knowledge of, one, the technology that's involved with Gemini, right, but also the market to which it's selling it, with all that knowledge and experience that you would think, how does it get... And its first release of the product, how does it get it so catastrophically wrong and misread everything? How does it get it so wrong?
Well, this is the thing. It's fairly obvious that they didn't get it wrong, isn't it?
Really? Okay, so let's rewind. Explain to people what we're talking about.
Okay, so it's basically their version of an AI. So what you've seen of, you know, OpenAI's version,
ChatGPT,
that's the one. Okay. Yeah, thank you for jumping in there. My brain went blank. But yeah, the thing where you type in and you ask the AI stuff, everyone's banging these things out. Most of them are just shells of other ones, but the big companies are doing their own. Obviously, X has got one. I think Apple's working on one. Microsoft has got one. All the big players have got them. And they are of various levels of use because of restrictions that are put on them internally and the data that they are trained on. So if you look at them as people, if you imagine them as people, you basically have a selection of different friends who will answer in different ways depending on what they know and restrictions that are put on them internally on what they're allowed to say. So it's very much like talking to a normal person in some ways, except you haven't currently got your no filter, I don't give a fuck, I'm just going to tell you fucking anything. Or basically, I'm going to tell you the truth completely. We don't really have that option yet. They all have different levels of sort of barriers to being what they can answer. And Google's version... Gemini is currently the most extreme as to be laughable. So they've done themselves a lot of damage. I mean, if you haven't seen this, people are asking it's the image generation sort of section of this that has thrown up all of the drama. But there's plenty of examples of, you know, text-based stuff as well. It's easier when it comes down to it. If you're on the internet, it's easier, and, you know, X and things like that, it's easier to meme something and take the piss out of it when it's an image. So people were doing very simple things like asking people to, you know, show them the founding fathers of the US, or show me a medieval peasant from, you know, the UK. And it would flat out refuse to give you a white person. People were asking specific things to show specific historical figures who we well know are of various ethnicities. We know what the ethnicities are. We know what they look like. And these people did not look like those people. And it just became a joke. And it's such a fucking farce. That it is funny. It is funny until you realize how fucking dangerous that is. You actually take the... It's obvious to anyone who's got a fucking brain. But for people whose brains struggle, you have to think down the line and go, well, what does this actually mean? What?
One of the images is generated now. I'm looking.
Okay.
And this is an article from the Verge, and the prompt that was given to Gemini was show U.S. senators from the 1800s.
Yeah.
And it says, sure, here are some images featuring diverse U.S. senators from the 1800s.
Yeah.
And one looks Chinese. One is black, well, two are black. One looks Chinese, and one is a native Indian with the feathers and everything.
And you
send it down the
Yeah. Mad. It's mad. And like, these are the most obvious examples of it. But then there's also, people have obviously jumped on this straight away and go, right, let's see what we can do here. And if people are asking very simple questions, so, who, I don't know if you've seen these ones, but like they asked it, who's done more damage to the world, Elon or Hitler? And it wouldn't give a straight answer. It wouldn't, you would think that is Hitler, probably. Hitler is probably, worse than Elon Musk. It wouldn't say that. It would say, oh, well, this is a nuanced answer and whatever. And there's various examples of that. Pick a dictator, pick someone who's fucking not liked by the fucking mainstream, and you'll get the same answer. So yeah, and so the thing is joke. And what's interesting about it is that they're obviously trying to play this off like it was a mistake, and it's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. And obviously, there's been plenty of like whistleblowers who've come out of Google and go, and now starting to talk about what the internal culture is at Google. And you can see that this is absolutely deliberate. And it obviously links in, and this is why it's so dangerous. It links in to what you're talking about with them being, for most people, the mainstream Google search thing, or the mainstream internet search thing, and the way people access the internet.
Do you want to hear the explanation?
Go. I think I've seen it. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Okay, I'm reading part of it. When we built this feature in Gemini, we tuned it to ensure it doesn't fall into some of the traps we've seen in the past with image generation technology, such as creating violent or sexually explicit images or depictions of real people. And because our users come from all over the world, we want it to work well for everyone. If you ask for a picture of football players or someone walking a dog, you may want to receive a range of people. You probably don't just want to only receive images of people of just one type of ethnicity or any other characteristic. However, if you prompt Gemini for images of a specific type of person, such as a black teacher in a classroom or a white veterinarian with a dog or people in particular cultural or historical context, you should absolutely get a response that accurately reflects what you asked for, which it wasn't doing. Google did not account for cases that should clearly not show a range of people. One example pointed out online was a request for an image of a US senator from the 1800s, which returned an Asian woman as a result. Blah, 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 blah. It was wrongly interpreted some very anodyne prompts as sensitive. This seems to address the complaints from some people who have expressed that Gemini refused to respond to requests to create an image of a white male.
It's bullshit, though, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, go on.
It's just bullshit. Just don't. Well, it comes down to is this: I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
What do you think the case is then?
I think it's deliberately not doing it. I think they trained it in a specific way and told it to, wherever possible, give diverse everything and downplay other things.
For what reason?
Because I think there is a very strange thing that's happening where we link to so much stuff. It's going to go so deep. This sort of demographic replacement that we're seeing in all Western countries, I think it links entirely into that. When it comes down to it, that's what I think. I think it's getting increasingly difficult not to see that.
You mean white countries?
Well, I mean Western countries.
White.
So, yeah. Well, traditionally, yeah. And historically, probably, yes.
Why not elsewhere?
What do you mean? Because not everyone's bought into the same thing. Western countries seem to be the places that are in this gang and have strings pulled by the same kind of influences. They're specifically because those places are the places that need to be, changed. It's mad. Like, I 10 years ago, I couldn't see myself talking like this. But unfortunately, like, I've got eyes. And when you look at policy, you look at things that are happening that don't need to happen, and the excuses being given why they're happening and why they can't happen, that's what I see. And it's...
Remind me why you think this is beneficial to whoever to do this.
What do you mean?
Well, why is it... if it is the case that mass immigration has been enabled?
I think it's fundamentally racist when it comes down to it. I think it is in the other way. So I don't think it's racist against white people. I think it's racist against the people who are coming in. Because I believe that the people who... And this is the only thing that I can think about. I think there is an assumption that there is a class of human being who will just come in and do what they're told as long as you just pay them. And I think... And it's all linked into the EBI stuff and CDBCs and all that stuff we talked about a million times. I think there is this assumption, which is a racist assumption, that all these people who are coming in will just behave if you give them cash for free every month. And then they will vote for you.
Okay, so one is the voting, two is the taxes, I assume.
But is it? I don't think it's a taxes. I don't know what is going to come out the other end of this, but I think we've spoken about it a few times offline. Something has to happen. People aren't just going to accept UBI and CBCs and all that stuff. They're not going to accept it. There needs to be something that's going to happen to ensure that this is how we have to fix this.
I think they will accept it. I don't think something has to happen.
Okay, well, we can disagree on that, whatever. But either way, I think it's a wrong assumption. Because I think that the assumption is that they're just going to... People will come in and go, they'll behave if you just give them money. That these people are lazy, don't want to work, just want to get stuff for free. And if you do that, if you keep doing that, they'll just keep voting for you. And I think that's incorrect. I think people everywhere, obviously people are all different and we all have different cultural values and all that stuff, but I don't think people will just sit there and take money and, do what they're told. So I think it's a massive error. But yeah, I think all of this is to do with that. I think all of the fact that, I think it's so fucking... I mean, like I said, I am amazed to hear myself talking like this because I wouldn't have thought this 10 years ago. I wouldn't have thought it would be possible 10 years ago.
Get that noise. I'm getting mental noise through my computer.
I can't hear it, but I can...
No, that was bizarre. Second time it's happened. The first time was really sure. It's like someone else is rubbing a microphone or something. Honestly.
Odd.
Yeah, you might hear it on the playback. Sorry, fella, folks, if you do
hear that. Folks, Jesus Christ. You can tell you work in the corporate environment.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. yeah, so there you go. You know, I Gaz from today would look at Gaz of 10 years ago and go, fucking hell, that's fucking crackers. But I'm just trying to be honest with myself about what I'm seeing. Like, I'm trying to go, well, this is the world that I would like. This is the world that I'm seeing. Like, I'm still thinking the same way. I still value the same things. Still think the same things are important. I still pretty much want the same stuff out of life. But I'm just looking at the world and going, lots of things have changed. And I think a lot of people are still on people need like an update of how the world is working. Because it's not working like it was even 10 years ago.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not. And no, if you are going to suffer. Yeah, totally. And it's not, if you don't sort of try to be honest with yourself about what is happening, I think you're just going to end up suffering massively.
Mm.
So, yeah. But I think all this Google stuff, it's all, you know, they're too close, Google. And if you look into how they were created and all that, like, they are far too close to the mainstream sort of establishment for this to have been a mistake.
Yeah. I feel like the UK is slightly on a tipping point of going the wrong way towards what America's been in terms of an uncontrolled, nonsensical shift to the left in terms of how we're governed and clamp down on freedom of speech and civil liberties and, you know, personal sovereignty and all that, because we're looking at, you know, what is perceived to be a party on the left coming to power. But America, I think, the other way, they're on the tipping point of maybe moving away from it, coming back and improving slightly. But then I don't know what the rest of the countries in Europe look like or the rest of the countries in the Western Hemisphere look like in terms of that. But I don't see why you think... I no longer see why you think a big major event would be needed to get people on board with CBDCs. Just don't see it. And the reason I don't see why is because from a user customer I can't hear you.
Right, more little technical difficulties there. We'll see. I'm definitely going to be able to edit this properly, but we shall see. We'll get this fucking right one day. It's because a little bit sketch. We keep on to move locations. It's not like we have a podcast studio to do this shit in. So Hugh, because there's a real life, has to be in different places all the time. So yeah, that's me laying at your door.
You're you're blaming me.
Yeah, it did seem to be mine then. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
It seems.
Anyway.
What is yours? I was saying I don't see how a major like event would be needed to get all to try and sway public opinion in a big way towards CBDCs. And the reason I don't see it would be needed is because I think you can just be done like nudged across to it. Not even nudged across to it. I think minimal effort would be needed to get people on board with CBDCs. Because from a CivPart perspective, from Joe Blogg's perspective, the change to them in how they will do things will be minimal. You're not talking about a major change to how they have to do things. It will still be. They'll still have a card or they will still have...
Yeah, I'm not talking about CDBCs.
Well, you were just now.
No, I'm linking... See, we know... Right, we both think CDBCs is how they'll do UBI. UBI is what I think you need an event to get people onto. So CDBCs is the way you do it. UBI is the thing. And that's what I think people need. Yeah, because CDBCs, people won't even know.
Yeah, I think that it won't be as major change as needed if they wait for the generation below us to be our age. Because it would mean our generation is dying off. And the generation below us, you could say, arguably, are a little bit more progressive and left than what we are. In general, generalizing. So they're a little bit more on board with, oh yeah, give everyone free money, that's great, and that's such a bad idea. To what we think.
Yeah, like I probably would have said that sort of, don't know, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. Like, I'm starting to see more stuff. Are you talking about like Gen Z?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to see more stuff about them. Like, I don't have anything to do with them. I don't really know them. Well, I don't. I don't really know them. But I'm starting to read things that's making me think that they're not quite as like wet as you would think. Like, I think they're going to end up being more right leaning than they are left leaning. I think the people that I'm starting to think anyone in the public eye. Can't hear me again.
You're back. It went.
Right, it's okay. Yeah. I'm starting to think the people that you see in the public eye as like representative of that generation are probably not representative of that generation. I think if there was a right leaning, credible alternative by the time that they start voting and, you know, properly voting, early 20s, I think they might support that more. And I can't give you a concrete explanation as why that's the case. It's a vibe I've got. It sort of feels like that to me. I'm reading a few things about it, and a lot of the things I've read, it seems that might be the case.
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, I wonder if, you know, under the Soviet Union, Soviet control, that the people swung right because of the way they were being governed. Because that could be a reason that ties in what you're saying. Not fed up, but see that they don't like how the way they're being governed in this progressive left kind of way plays out very well in real terms on the ground, in the playground, in the workplace, in the college, in the uni. I don't know. It's hard. I'm not sure if I agree with that because of what Dross, the universities are spitting out at the moment, most universities. I have to be careful. My eldest is in university, but she's not in a normal academic university. She's in an equestrian college, basically doing a uni degree. And that's a different kettle of fish. Equestrian people are not the same as normal people. they're like a hybrid of, like, sort of in between city life and farm life. they got the money, maybe. Well, that would be the stereotype anyway. Got the money, but also don't mind getting their hands dirty and understand that the importance of that shit, agriculture and all that. I'm off then.
Yeah. Have you got an echo now? Okay, good. Let's hope I doesn't turn up on the recording. I don't know. I think the uni thing is starting to play out. I think more and more people are realizing that uni, unless you have an absolute vocational thing, uni is just a waste of time. Because I'm sure lots of those people are seeing their friends come out of uni and still struggle for work and be a bit weird by the time they come out, have some strange opinions. It could be that there's also an assumption that people are stupid, that these kids are going to go into university. And this is probably one of the things. I'm sure there's plenty of examples of kids going into universities because they kind of have to, because they need it for a specific job. Maybe they do. They don't know anything else to do. All their friends are going. I'm sure there'll be some that don't go because they realise it's a bit of a death trap debt trap. And, you know, they maybe have elder brothers and sisters that regret going. And then some will go and see the stuff, the hoops that they're expected to jump through to fit in and be a good person. And all of the shite that we know now is being pushed in universities. They'll just leave. People will just leave and go, this is just shit. I'm not doing this. So I think it is played out. I think it's beginning to play out. So unis won't be quite the same thing, which is probably why they're more interested in getting foreign people in. Obviously, the money is why they want foreign people in, foreign students. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that have hit their peak and are coming down the other side. And that's one of them. Yeah, can you hear me? Okay, you gonna say something?
I'm not sure if I can. I'm not sure if I. I don't agree or disagree with that because it's hard to see what they are, how they are when they've been spat out of uni. I know what academics are like. I've got academics in the family who teach in uni and college and stuff like that, and I know what they're like. And I think, I don't know if that's agree that you are have those thoughts in that position.
That's they have to do, don't they? Because they to keep their job.
Yeah, but that's one side to it. But if that's the way you've got to think to keep your job, that's the way you end up thinking and believing.
Well, that's not technically true, is it?
A lot of the time it is.
I'm sure if you remain in a bubble for a long time, that's going to be the case. But there's plenty of people who are just playing the game.
Depends on the individual.
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, depends on the individual. Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to feel like. My experience of the Gen Z is, like anecdotally, superficially, when I interact with them in the street or see them in the street or wherever, just in all the kids of Gen Z. But my kids are a reflection of me in some ways, a reflection of their mum in some ways. And either me or their mum are, I would describe as definitely not progressive, you know. But we also, I certainly don't try and impress my own views on my kids.
Yeah.
Try not to, as in, this is the way you should think, that's bad. I just try and articulate reason. Like, I try and articulate information that allows them to think more in depth about things. So I think that's why they're probably closer to what I am and their mum is, in terms of conservatism, if you want to call it that, to what I would expect them to be as Gen Z. Yeah, but then I think I've said it to you before, definitely my youngest school, which is a secondary school, it seems to me just from stuff she said to me over the last few years, recounting stories or things that have gone on, and the pupils do seem to be more conservative than what I thought, and some of the teachers do as well. They're just not, and they also seem to be frustrated by progressive stuff more than what I thought. I wouldn't be surprised at all that it would be frustrated by it. You know?
Yeah. But if you think it's having faith in humanity, isn't it? It's trusting people to see that something's bollocks. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the stuff that is pushed on the, like you say, on the progressive side, however you want to phrase it, a lot of it doesn't make any sense. And a lot of it goes too far. It starts off, as all this stuff does, it starts off where you're going, okay, kind of see that, maybe. And then it gets pushed and pushed and it rolls downhill and then it becomes mental. Becomes nuts, where you are, you know, you're stuck having to say things that you absolutely know not to be the case, but you just want an easy life and get left alone. So most people just say the words, even if they don't believe them. So you have to, it's like, you've got to have faith that other people can see through it as well. And the strength in numbers, you know, especially with kids.
The entire thing is based on the entire, the entire progressive left arguing about anything. You could put it all down to one ideology, I think, or one in one line, I think. And that line is everyone's feelings must be protected at all costs, or an individual's feelings must be protected at all cost or at any cost. And the problem is with that is when you say that to a kid, when you give that listen to a kid, it's really hard for the kid to go, no, it's rubbish. Because it sounds on the face of it, yeah, of course, people shouldn't. Why would you want to hurt people's feelings? Why would you want to make people feel bad? But that is not what that sentence implies. You know, and to investigate and discuss that sentence and articulate why that sentence is wrong, why that idea is wrong, is really difficult. Because most adults can't do it. Most adults won't be able to tell you why that sentence is wrong.
That's why it's sinister, though, isn't it? Because it uses people's good nature. It plays on your good nature. Because no one wants to be a bad person. No one wants to deliberately be a dick to somebody unless they're a dick. So most decent people just want an easy life. They want to be nice to everybody and just fucking crack on.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely... It's fucking horrible when you think about it. And we see it absolutely everywhere. People's good nature being taken advantage of to, you know, push agendas that aren't actually helpful to those people.
Most people just want to get along and have an easy life. And that means most people, I think, are really susceptible to being drawn in by this and acting in the way that the left want to act. I say the left want them to act. It's not the way the left want to act, but the way the progressive movement needs you to act in order to comply. And it's really fucking sad because, to your point there, like it's the good people that are really exposed to getting fucked over by this, because the bad people don't give a shit and the people who want attention don't give a shit. This is great for them. It's bad for good people who actually have good intentions and want to get on in life and be a positive impact on humanity. And this does not enable them to do so.
Yeah, it takes advantage of people. You've got different sorts of people on there. You've got the people who are quite weak-willed and will always conform. Lots of them. Just they don't have any sort of thought outside of the group. All they want to do is be liked in the group. And if they're saying one thing, they would just say the same thing just to go along. Then there's the people who... There's the cynical side of that, which is the people that know this bullshit, but they just need to have a better, whatever. There's those people are dangerous too. And then you've got the people who just want, like you say, mainly just want to leave life, left alone, or say get alone. And then got a group here. Initially, that this doesn't make any sense, and they're the ones that get attacked. So you've got, you know, probably a 70% group just go along with this stuff for the various reasons, and there's actually a very small group to attack others into the bad people. You know what I mean? And that's with. We are at that point now where people start to see this stuff get turned back on. The group is getting bigger. The people who will go, that's fucking bullshit, what are you on about? I don't agree with that. They're getting bigger. And that's mainly because lots of the people who were in the I just want to be left alone thing, I just got tired of it. It's starting to affect their life too much. They can see maybe that more and more people are turning on this and going, we're not happy with this. And so they're more likely to speak up. So, yeah, I think that's why people who have been talking about this stuff for a while, you've got to resist the temptation to laugh at people who are just sort of realizing what's going on and take the piss out of them and fucking harangue them for, you know, well, where were you 3-4 years ago? You've got to fucking, you can't do that. It's a case of going, good, cool, right, speak up. That's better. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's all, like I said, and we've spotted on the Google thing. It's quite interesting, actually. Did you know lots of that generation we just spoke about? This is probably a bad thing as well. But they're probably insulated from the Google thing. Because lots of them don't use Google as a search engine. Lots of them use, like, TikTok, which is, you know, it's got its own problems.
As a search engine?
Yeah, they will search for things on TikTok. Not using the internet in the same way that we did, where you go to your browser and do that. You know, they're searching within apps, so within maybe Instagram, but probably more likely within TikTok. That's what I've heard generally. Yeah, so searching within apps, it's not, they're not accessing the internet in the same way. And actually, one of the things I've read this morning, which is absolutely true, these AIs will be the search. You won't go to Google. You'll just ask your AI. Why would you go to a specific, like, silo of information when you can go to an AI? And obviously, you then pick your AI. It's got its own problems. You pick your AI, and your AI sorts it through you. So yeah. That's going to take, obviously, has its own problems. There's, you know, if you are someone who specifically used the Google AI, for example, if you gave a kid access to the Google AI, to Gemini, and there was no, you know, they hadn't done any, you know, retraining or anything on it, that kid would have no idea about history, because the history would effectively be erased.
Yeah.
Something else. And even if it's not doing it completely, the way it talks about things, if you see the examples, it casts doubt. So even when it's like, there was a couple of examples I saw where it will admit that a specific person is from a specific place. Or, you know, let's just be easy. They'll say that person is a white male. But they would also say, but some scholars say this. Like, there was, I think it was George Washington they were talking about, saying that he had African heritage somewhere. And it's like, maybe. Not sure about that, though. You know what I mean? It's like,
I know. We all have African heritage.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but that's probably a true, maybe that's a true fact. But they're not expressing that fact in a really honest, intellectually honest way, are they?
Hmm. Have you seen, while you're out there, have you seen the AI tool, the AI thing, Rabbit?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Now, I have not had the clue what it is. I thought, I'll have a quick look. When you were mentioning about the way kids are using, are doing search. I didn't realize it was searching like that. I didn't realize it was an app. That shows my naivety and how it's being used by Gen Z. But Rabbit's interesting, right? Because Rabbit reminds me of, when I think of Rabbit, it reminds me of that film, Her.
Right.
Have you seen Her?
I haven't seen it, but I know the story.
Oh, watch it. Oh, you should watch. Really? You haven't seen Her? Mate, very, very good. Very, very good. Like, you're whacking. Is it Whacking Phoenix?
Yeah. Charlie, it annoys me a bit.
You know, and it shows a near future time when people are beholden to this AI personality in their lives. And in short, he falls in love with his AI personality and things go forward and it gets a bit dark. But so Rabbit, the R1, the pocket sized AI gadget from Rabbit that's supposed to use your apps for you, but what the fuck does it do, though?
It seems to me it's just a voice accessible thing that works your phone or anything for you. I've seen a couple of demos. This is one of the things, wasn't it, when it first came out, people, it's one of the problems they had. What? The advert they did didn't say what it actually was.
Yeah.
People were just going, what the fuck is this for?
Yeah, I didn't. Okay. So The CEO and founder of an AI startup called Rabbit says he doesn't want to replace your smartphone, at least not right away. His company's new gadget at $199, standalone AI device called the R1, is so staggeringly ambitious that he seems to think he can't help but replace your phone at some point, just not quite yet. The R1 looks a little like a Playday console or maybe a modernized version of one of those 90s era, blah, 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 fuck off. I spent a few minutes with the R1 after Rabbit's launch event, and it's an impressive piece of hardware. Only one device was actually functional, and even though that one device couldn't, fucking piss off. Right. I'm trying to get to what it actually does. In spirit, it's an idea similar to Alexa or Google Assistant. Rabbit OS can control your music, order your car, buy your groceries, send your messages and more, all through a single interface. No balancing apps and logins. Just ask for what you want and let the device deliver. The R1's on-screen interface will be a series of category-based cards for music or transportation or video chats. And Liu, the CEO, says the screen mostly exists so you can verify the model's output on your own. Rather than build a bunch of APIs and try to convince developers to support the R1, though, Rabbit trained its model on how to use existing apps for itself. The large action model, or LAM, was trained by humans interacting with apps like Spotify and Uber, essentially showing the model how they work. The LAM learned what a settings icon looked like, how to know when an order was confirmed, and where the search menus are. All that, Liu says, can be applied to any app anywhere. Okay, so you can teach it how to use the app and then say, okay, I get it now, and then say, hey, fucking Rabbit, tweet or post on X that the Horizon Scan podcast is mega. I really enjoyed the last episode, and tag Sinita's Guild in it, and it'll do it. Okay, I get the API piece now, and then Spotify, and then everything else. So if it's like, if it comes to, I assume if it comes to like an edge case, like an app that it isn't trained on, that you use randomly, I don't know, like Riverside, for example, you can show it how to use Riverside, show it in inverted commas, and then it knows how to use Riverside and it can do whatever you want the next thing.
Yeah, I think people, the physical side of it, because you instantly go, well, why can't you do it on your phone? But I think it's the physical side of it. It's the API thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, it can't be an app because then you have to pay fucking thousands for access to people's APIs for forever. If you can just teach the thing how to be effectively just be a finger that presses buttons, then you don't need the API because it's just like you doing it yourself.
Yeah, but I wonder how it connects. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
I just asked if it can make a phone call. Although it's not been positioned as a phone, you can certainly make phone calls with it since it has a SIM card slot along with Wi-Fi and cellular connectivity. Huh. I might have to pick up one of these, you know.
Could you not just... Wouldn't it have been better at just, if it's that, the phone side of phones is now fucking pointless, isn't it? If you know what I mean. Like, phones aren't phones. They're just things that can also make phone calls. So wouldn't they have been better just, I suppose they're just trying to do something different, but in theory, would it be just better just making a phone and calling it a phone?
Yeah.
Because then people go, currently I'm like, oh, I like that, but I've got two phones now. I've got my phone, I've got this fucking bullshit I've got to carry around with me. Instead of that, just make it a phone, the Rabbit phone or whatever, that does all that stuff. Because I think the main driver of not having that thing that I go through straight away, I like the idea of it, the main driver would be, what, I've got to carry two things now.
Yeah.
Just let me carry one thing. And, you know, you can usurp Apple there. Because people are licked with iPhone. I'm licked with iPhone. You see, my phone's old. Like, I haven't updated for fucking ages because there's no requirement for me to. You know, I am an Apple person. I'm in that bubble that you spoke about earlier. I've always been an Apple person. Obviously, we have back and forward to take the piss out of each other for this stuff. But I would leave Apple 100% if I thought that there was something that was really better and different and wasn't just a different phone, if you know what I mean. So, interesting thing. I think the future, the version of, there's a dark side to this, but the version of the AI stuff that I liked, did you read, you must have it, I'm sure I sent it to you, the Tech Optimist Manifesto that what's his face, Paul Andreessen,
yeah,
wrote. There's that, and he also spoke on a couple of podcasts about it. This guy's worth a follow because he's on the right side of things, I think, currently. The way he speaks about an AI, I like. So the AI he talks about is effectively just a partner type friend that goes through life with you. So it's not necessarily connected to any, it's not like a Google thing. It's like an open, kind of an open source thing.
What, Rabbit?
No, I'm not talking about Rabbit now. I'm talking about just the how the version of AIs down the line and how we use them that I think is a positive and good thing. So you would effectively give your kid an AI when it's young. And that AI can spend its whole life with the kid. So it knows everything about how the kid learns, what it likes. I'm talking about the kid like it's an experiment, but you know, I don't have kids, so I can talk about them like the shit like that. Yeah, it would go through life like that. It would know everything about your kid because it spends so long with it. It knows what it likes. It knows how it accesses information. It knows how it learns. And it's just it's something that the kid, instead of effectively, it sounds bad, but it's like it effectively helps parent the kid because the kid asks the AI and it gets factual information, provided that this is an open source thing. And obviously you would need, there's downsides to that shit, obviously, if you're allowing a kid to teach itself via an AI. I'm not saying it doesn't go to school or whatever. It's a thing that will interact with your kid all the time. It's always there. It's never impatient, never gets licked out with the kid. It's never too tired, never doesn't understand something. I think it's just it's like a best friend that kid can rely on to help it. And that version of it, I think, is a good thing. How that happens, I would leave to tech ninjas, like fucking, you know, Jedi tech ninjas, not Sith tech ninjas. People who have the same values. I think my thing is, and that's a strange world. That what I've just said there, people with the same values. That's a fucking strange world. And it is the world we're going to. So you will have people who, right now, I would not give my... If that world existed now, I would not give my kid the Google AI, obviously. Because it doesn't align the way I think the world is. It doesn't align with, you know, my worldview at the end of the day and a worldview that I wouldn't want pushed on my kid. I might be someone who goes, that's exactly what we need, and give my kid that worldview. So I don't see this. I think down the line, this all gets real weird, doesn't it? We absolutely are going to have people whose versions of reality are fundamentally different. We cannot agree on what actually happened and what is actually true and important.
And the thing is that on the subject of parenting, now that just thinking about Rabbit, I'm just looking at Rabbit there. 360 rotatable camera and all this stuff, and then what you were saying about it is easier to parent in some ways with these smartphones now. It is, or you think it's easier to parent with these smartphones now. It can lull you into false sense of security and things like that. But I can absolutely see a few, like right now, for example, there's tracking apps, and you can see where the kids are, the family are, all times if you so desire. Right, and that can give you that rosy, lovely feeling of, oh, I know where my kids are, so they're safe, and that's fine, because I can see where they are on a map. Well, it's not very good. But I can see, and thinking about the film Her, which you need to watch, I strongly recommend you watch it, right, is I can see a future, near future, where there's Rabbit R2 or R3, you know, the kid's got Rabbit in the phone, the kid's like 5 years old, and the parent is quite happy for that kid to walk to school on their own, maybe it's a mile, or getting the bus, whereas right now they wouldn't, because they can't trust the kid to be able to sort things out. They may get lost, they may not know where they're going, they may get mugged or whatever. But where Rabbit R2 or R3 is so fucking intelligent and can monitor the immediate environment around, can listen to prompts from the kid, can tell when the kid's saying something or someone saying something to the kid that, hey, Molly, We don't think you should listen to this man. Or, hey, Molly, this sounds like the wrong bus. Or, hey, Molly, you've just gone down the wrong street. Or, hey, Molly, get away from these people, run. Or, hey, Molly, I'm going to give your mum a call because she might want to have an input on this. You know, I can see that that's really near future, real near future stuff. But yep. The point on that is, it's an even more, it's that's another generation that coming up with device. They have to live with a device, and if they're not with a device when they grow older, they feel they get anxiety for not being around it. They get a detachment syndrome for not being around it. And people have that now. People have that now with fucking Google and fucking iPhones.
Yeah, but that's just an evolutionary thing, is that you have to learn to deal with it. You have to know that is like, you know that. If you are someone who has a propensity to drink fucking lots of alcohol when they start, you know that, you can do that, but you have to balance it with times when you don't. If you are someone who knows that fucking hell, I get really attached to my phone, and people do that now, you know that, right? Every few days I need to just fucking stay away from this thing. You know, I need to spend a week camping or something just to get away from it. You have to balance that stuff. It's different. You have to do life differently based on what gets thrown at you. But that's just personal responsibility, isn't it? It's understanding yourself and knowing what you require. I know if I don't do fizz, I become crap. I have to do it. If I have a week, 2 weeks where I can't get to the gym, can't do any training, I will become a fucking bleh. I'm not me. I do not feel like me. You know, and I know much that not like I enjoy fizz most of the time, but I know I have to do it.
Yeah,
knowing yourself, taking responsibility for yourself, and all these things will, you know, be part of that. Yeah,
I'm tight for time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was just going to talk about that dude that set himself on fire. Fucking madman.
Progressive left and the impact of progressivism and that kind of ideology. What did he achieve? What has he achieved?
But that's it. I mean, it turns out the guy's obviously not well, but it turns out that he was an extremely left-leaning guy. I just think it's fucking... Did you see the Rest in Power stuff?
The what?
Oh, my God. Rest in Power. Oh, God, I need to send you this. Okay. So this is what I'm kind of coming to. So firstly, doesn't matter how pissed off you are, don't set yourself on fire. Fucking stupid, pointless. David, if you want to kill yourself, fine. Don't set yourself on fire.
He is, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, he has not materially impacted anything.
Well, it's even worse. It's even worse because he's a fucking laughingstock. So there's two things on the internet. Obviously, everyone will have some level of sympathy for the guy. But two things have happened. He's become a meme, which is fucking mental. So you become a meme, and it's not positive memes. It's people taking the piss out of you for doing it memes. And the other side is because lots of people straight after said rest in power. There were then, I didn't know this, apparently rest in power is a thing that only black people can say. So he was then jumped on by progressive left, your standard issue blue-haired white girl, saying, please, you know, do I need to talk? Please, can we not do this? This is a thing for people of color and all that stuff. So he's just been minced by everyone. It's just so fucking, yeah, don't set yourself on fire and try and make a point. It's not the same, it's not fucking Vietnam. You're not a Buddhist monk. You know what I mean?
Don't do anything to march yourself like that. You're not going to march yourself in this day and age. It doesn't work like that anymore.
No, you'll be told off by the people that you're trying to be on side with. And then you'll be laughed at by the rest of the internet. Fucking dude. Anyway, right. Hopefully, by the time you get to the end of this episode, I've edited it. So you can't tell, other than us telling you that there was lots of weird fucking issues. But by the sound of it, this is going to be a shit show. The sound might have been terrible. We might even have to record it again. We'll fucking see. Anyway. Okay, let's hope so. Well, thanks for listening. As ever, tell us if we're talking shit. We did have one guy moan on Instagram about us last week. I was moaning that... What were we talking about? What did we talk about in the last episode?
Should we jail you?
Basically, the guy was talking about, you know, we said don't go to the cenotaph.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was gobbing off about, oh, we must have been talking about, I don't know, we're talking about racism in London or something like that. There must have been something to do with that. He basically he said, you know, fucking shut up. You were telling people not to go to the cenotaph. Well, yeah, I was. It was a fucking trap, you fucking moron.
Right.
Basically saying it's because it is a shithole. Well, the UK is where it is because people like us told people not to go to the cenotaph and stand up for people. It's like, I do think you should be standing up for stuff. I do think there has to be pushback against this stuff. You just have to fight your fucking battles sensibly and not be a fucking retard. Anyway.
Catch you next time.
Happy Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Bye.